بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When wahi would come to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people that were seated around could perceive that wahi is coming down. And they would remain very much anxious to listen to the fresh wahi, coming now straight from Allah Ta'ala fresh, and we're receiving it. So they would be very, very anxious to hear the fresh wahi, what's come down. Today I was explaining to Ustaz that an important point in deen for the preservation of deen. See, we want deen to be preserved within us and the generations to come. The immediate thing that is required is that we have some concern, some fikr for the people around. One is the people that are immediate in the house, the friends that you've got some influence, a little bit of the neighborhood. But the effect that it has remains for long, for generations. Marhum Ibrahim Padia, Allah fill his grave with Noor. So he used to cover this area, Orient Park, Lotus Park, Malagasy. I know those days, there's nothing there, absolutely nothing. People are far away from deen. Maybe once in a blue moon, maybe once in 3-4 years you may see them in the masjid. Someone passed away or something like that, they'll come. Otherwise they're absolutely distant, away from the masjid. But he would make it a point that he would climb up. Well, some of the hills are quite steep, and rocky surface. To be careful on how you balance yourself as you're coming up. Right on top, I say, "Oh, Musa bhai, Hussein bhai," shout, call them, talk to them about deen. Sometimes there's dogs coming in. Now, the fruit of his effort, it shows after 10, 15, 20 years. What we want is to see the fruits, and see the fruits immediately. The fruit doesn't have to come straight away, it can come later on. So one person look at the fruit now. He worked, must have worked about 25 years ago in this area here, right? He worked and he worked until the local people took charge thereafter. So now one person was in financial constraints. Inner constraints, so some Christian organizations came to help. Helping, until it reached a point where that man was really difficult. Difficulties, health problems, financial problems, all type of distress. So now, initially they got through him, through those hampers and whatever they were doing. Now, they made it, they conditioned it to him accepting Christianity. Can you imagine now how far this person is out and what a game they played now with this person at this time? So he says, you know, I could have been there. I am not lying, I could have been there. But in that moment I was feeling a little bit uneasy. It's about 25, 30 years after Ibrahim Bhai had delivered the work and did everything and then whatever. But 30 years later, he says, in that state, you know, and my mind is contemplating now, you know, I'm getting everything done, everything's happening now for me, and what's there for me just to cross over and to see all my requirements are seen through. At that point, he says, Ibrahim Bhai's this one flash came in. Hey, don't do this. He said, no, I'm not going to do it at all. Class, get out from here, I'm not going to do it. But you see, 30 years and the fruit is born so many years later. So then Allah Ta'ala takes care of the progeny to come. You're not there. Who's going to take care of your progeny? So don't wait for the fruit to come immediately, number one. Right? But do something as a security for the generations to come later on. Do it quietly. Allah Pak knows about it, but it's enough. Your security and your children's security. your generation security. You may not know about it, but Allah Pak, once in time, He will see that the thing will show the fruit. One story is coming to mind. One person just mentioned it to me last week. So he says that the Chief Justice of South Africa, second in charge, is someone called Richard Zondo, right? So he gave a story. So he says he was traveling with this Richard Zondo. He's also in the parliament, so to be traveling. So, now that Zondo saw this person here with a beard and a topi, so he tried to engage with him. He said, I'll give you a story. So he's giving his story, life story. He says, some things that happened in your childhood, this is Zondo now, he's talking. And this thing came out in video afterwards. So he says, something that happens in your childhood, it shapes your mind, it shapes your thinking. So he mentioned it to a press conference, Zondo. And he's been commissioned now to see all the embezzlement, all the wrong that's taking place. And he's got a press conference. In the press conference, he's saying this. The video, this person spoke to Zondo himself directly, and that person's coming to talk to me. So this is some things that happened in your childhood, and that thing shapes your thinking. You don't understand. So whilst I was a child, by the grace of God, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I was quite intelligent, capable, and I came out with good symbols to the level of matric. Now when I matriculated, I got bursaries already to further my studies. So my immediate concern was, what about my widowed mother and my siblings? That was the immediate concern. Anyway, with that concern in my mind, coming from Ikopo, I went into the town, thinking what to do. There was a plan, there must be a plan in place, I must do something. So I went into a shop, I let the activity just quieten down, calm down. Then I went up to the boss, man with the topi and the beard. Maybe it must have happened about 35, 40 years ago, or even more. Because that man who we're talking about is about over 80. Right? Over 80. His Zondo must be over 50 now. So about 40 years ago. So anyway, all this thing happened, this activity finished and everything, whatever else. So he went and spoke to the boss himself, some Mr. Suleiman Musa, right? So he says, I need to discuss something with you. I want your help. This is my position. I secured my bursary. This is my pass. I need to go. But my concern is my widowed mother and my siblings. What do I do? I can't just leave them in suspense. So he says, that man told me, he said, alright, what do you do? Take this note, and whenever your household needs anything, ask them to come with this note, and I'll see to your needs. Right? So for that duration, whatever household needs, school needs, children need school, whatever, all that he's seen to everything. Now, after his study is complete and he's become an attorney or an advocate, whatever, now he's becoming prosperous. He can see money rolling in. So when he sees the money rolling in, he goes back to this Mr. Suleiman and he says, I came to repay you. Now he's talking to that press conference, all the ministers there, everybody's in tears. When he's mentioned this, everybody's in tears. So he says, see, what you came to pay me for? See, the favor that was done, you do it to someone else now. Now, the stranger part was this, that Mr. Suleiman didn't speak about it to anybody. Mr. Zondo had to speak about it after 40, 50 years. So the good that he did didn't die. It only bore fruit so long later. It's a lesson for us, many of us, that we want a lot of publicity, a little bit of work, publicity, a little bit of work, some charitable work, some work of generosity, and publicity. I don't say that publicizing it is wrong. In tubdu sadaqati fa ni'mahi. Sometimes you do it publicly. Wa in tukhfuha wa tu'tuha al-fuqara fa huwa khayr lakum. Sometimes some good works have to be done openly. Like for example, a Jummah namaz, right? So you do it openly. Or obligatory namaz, 5-time namaz, we do it openly. So some good works have to be done openly, because it's the nature of it is it's obligatory. When it's obligatory, then do it openly. Everybody feels they should do it. Like how on a Eid's day, and we give Sadaqah al-Fitr. Everybody lining up and we're giving someone coming. So that's good works of an obligatory nature. But it's apart from an obligatory nature, then don't publicize it too much. See, our people, what happens to them is, so no, the world must come to know that Muslims are doing. Alright. But then, see, there's a lot of things in the world that's happening. There's a lot of politicians in the world. There's a lot of wrong type of people in the world. And when they see this, politicians see it, and people with wrong agendas, they see this, then they will go on a smear campaign to push you down. Somehow they'll come and suppress you. You're doing this. So somehow they'll derail you. See, so, no, this organization, they got so much of money, so they're not spending it on the poor. Go and smash them down. See, so they'll misuse. They saw you doing some work, they saw some posters of yours, and then they will misuse this whole thing. How they misuse it? To their advantage. So you thought that you were doing it, and it's going to create something, some positive results. And what it turned out to be is turning it negative. I mean, all these things here. All this tamasha, this drama we saw in the 60s or 70s, then in India you got this untouchables. You know? So lots of them were accepting Islam because they saw the equality in Islam, the fair play in Islam, they saw it. And nobody was showing them that respect. Absolutely no one. You know? Just to show you how that Indian mind works. In the 30s, 40s, so there was a lot of political movements to move the English out of India. So the Muslims had joined up with the Hindus to move them out. The Muslim is minority, Hindu is majority. So to get the whole oppression out, so they had to get the assistance to get them out. So around that time, there was a movement called Sab Ek Ho Jao. All become one. All must become one. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah is one uncle. Little bit light-hearted, you know. Not little, quite light-hearted, but very, very sharp, very intelligent, sharp, light-hearted. So, he invited one Brahmin. Now, according to Hindu law, Hinduism is not a religion, it's just a philosophy. Right? Understand that it's not a religion, it's a philosophy. So now, according to Hindu law, the highest of the caste is the Brahmin. They feel now, Rama, right? All came out from Rama. So when everybody came out from Rama, so the Brahmin came from the head side, see. So now he's supposed to be so honored and respected that the untouchable, the Chamar, his shadow mustn't fall on the Brahmin. If it falls on him, must behead him. So he's of such a superior caste that even the shadow of the Chamar, of the untouchable, mustn't follow him. This side, this movement is going on, Shuddhi movement to make everybody Hindu. And this side, there's a political movement that's going on to chase the English out, right, because of the oppression. So now, to get that going, they had to create a body in the Indian, Sab Ek Ho Jao, you know, all must become one, all must unite. So now, Mustafa's uncle, he invited one Brahmin, ki aaj mere haan daawat hai. He can't refuse because Sab Ek Ho Jao, all must be united. So he responded to the daawat. Simultaneously, not known to this Brahmin, he invited one Chamar also at the same invitation. Invited the highest and invited the lowest. One invitation, one dastarkhan. Now he seated them down. He's gone inside, got the Brahmin on one side, got the Chamar on one side. So he's made some tea in a clay pot, you know, clay pot. And he first served it to the Chamar. Drink. Chamar, he's happy now. Muft ke liye chai mil raha hai. Free now, I'm getting tea.
getting so the honor, the respect, and all that. So he drank. Then he offered it to the Brahmin. So, Ram, 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 how can I ever do such a thing? This is totally haram, it's forbidden. You know that the caste now, this is that caste, what it makes them think like that. They are so high that the chamar can't come anywhere near. So now the chamar's leftover tea, he had to drink it. So you rather drink it, otherwise you see this body, uniting body, I'll go and report it. So khuda khuda karke, he drank that thing. When he drank that thing, now that the Brahmin is an intelligent person, so he turns the whole thing around to Mufsab's uncle. Okay, aap bhi piye, you also drink of it. Haan, main zarur piyunga, aaj mera roza hai, main roza khol karke phir main piyunga. I'm in roza today, in the evening after I've ended my roza, then I'll drink that thing. See, so you've got a lot of these movements going on. So a lot of people have got political agendas. It mustn't be that we become used in their political agenda. They got an agenda now, and they will use the press, they will use the media, they will use WhatsApp, they will use drama, they will use everything. Why? They want to use you into their political agenda. You are going to be used in their political agenda. So you can't be used. You are the representative of the Bishnason. The directive must come from there. It mustn't be tainted. It mustn't be contaminated. It mustn't be tainted. It mustn't be contaminated with any type of influence. Now, that's a difficult one. Because the Western mind works differently. It works so bad. One boy came just to spend his few days of holiday, Canada. He's a Molana. Studied here, working quite well there, mashallah. So he's explaining now that the same sex marriages and all that, you know, they're pushing it down so hard that it becomes law. Canada, most part of America, and Canada becomes law. They are fortunate enough that state that he is living in, they objected, right? Right. But now look, when they object, so those that object, they go through a conversion theory. No, they go through a conversion theory. So I asked him, but what is a conversion theory? He said, no, to make you think that this is not right. The right thing is a man should get married to a woman, not man to man. So that they need to put you into a conversion exercise. You know, they put you into exercise to get you thinking how you're supposed to be thinking. But what they've called it, conversion. And it's not supposed to be called conversion, it's supposed to call it reversion. Why? Because originally you were a man. A man is attracted to a woman. Man not to man. Conversion means now, you are gone off now, and you're coming, you know, you are right and you're coming wrong. Obviously. That's conversion. Now, you're supposed to see it, reversion. You went off, and you're coming, you bring you back. This is the amount of force that is used. Now, we have got, see, we research, the governments are saying that we have used psychologists, psychiatrists, and everybody have used to show that what we are forcing, this is the right way to go, man to man, woman to woman. This is the right way to go. And anything against it is coming from the Middle East. And the Middle East things are all outdated. So that must be abandoned and you should be going by this. So it's being forced down. Now you see, if you're going to be just listening to news, listening to media, listening to what's floating around, eventually in time to come, the least that will happen is, alright, this is also something that the governments have also condoned, right? So we shouldn't be so hard against it. If someone is going in that way, then it's a natural instinct, let him carry on. That's how you'll take it. You'll become a little bit acceptable to that creed. So our thinking is not supposed to be contaminated. It's not supposed to be tainted, not contaminated by anything that's alien. Anything that's alien. And there's so many things that's out there. It's going to contaminate your thinking. You're going so well, and suddenly you just reverse. Let's go that way.
was Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah says that one Mulana was teaching in Saharanpur. So in that day he was earning about 50 rupees. 50 rupees was a standard salary that time, see. So he was doing quite well, teaching quite well. And then someone had to just pass on the rumor that you're getting underpaid. See how it works. One person, the second person, third person must say, no, you're being underpaid. Now, how the human mind responds. So he complained to the madrasa that I'm being underpaid. He said, no, that's the best we can do. We can't do anything better than that for you. I'm supposed to be getting 100. You know, give me 50. So we can't do anything more. Because if we see you right, then all those that are at your level, all has to be seen right. And this is what we can afford. We can't afford anything beyond this. Now, Saharanpur at that time was the second best madrasa. You can say it's equal to Dioban or about the second best. Either if it's in line of Dioban or... Because the whole world at that time, it was undivided India. So the whole world is sending students to this place. So you can imagine now, like you get more Ihsan Sahib, that's the head of the Tabligh Jamaat. He studied here. Where he studied? He studied here. All his great luminaries, they studied either in Saharanpur or Dioban. So now, someone filled his ears here that you're being underpaid. Now, he complained and eventually he left the work. Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib says, Rahmatullah says, that I was going around in my tabligh rounds and I came across this alim. I seen the potential in him, so great he is. So somehow I got him around, spoke to him and all that. And after taking him out a few days in Jamaat, 40 days or 2 months, whatever, then I convinced him that what you're doing is not right. You need to be reinstating yourself into a madrasa. So where? So I come to Nizamuddin. Took him to Nizamuddin, was being paid initially how much? 50 rupees. Now for 30 rupees, he's prepared to take the employment in Nizamuddin. But you see his mind. Someone has to just influence your mind, and then your mind just goes around, turns around. Now, how important it is that your mind shouldn't be influenced by anything that is alien. Anything that is alien, it mustn't be influenced. And how susceptible is your mind? Someone comes up, and no, you take to it. Someone comes up to something else, and you take to it. Another Sheikh Hamutari gave one story. He says that in the day of the English, there was a court hearing, right? And at the court hearing, one person was charged for murder. He murdered an infant girl. India, I told you, no? So they found out that he murdered her just because of an earring, right? He pulled out the golden earring from her ears and he killed her and dumped the body. Court hearing. So the judge that is presiding over the case, he says to this person that is accused, says, I want to have a word with you in private. So the lunch, whatever time it was, he's got a private room, he's discussing with him. So he says, but aren't you the same person that you were working at a certain site? And at that time, I was not a judge, I was the foreman, the manager that was heading this whole project myself. I was managing this whole project and you were working there for me. Aren't you the same person? Isn't this your name? He said, yeah, this is my name. So he looks up to the judge, said, aren't you the so and so person? Said, yeah. So they recognized each other. After the introduction, so the judge asked him now, but what led you to this type of a murder, brutal murder, small little girl here, 7-8 years of old, you killed her and you dumped the body and then you escaped. What led you to this? So why do you ask this question? He says, you know when you were working on the site there for me in that year, so you all found at that time, you were alone. At that time, there was nobody helping you because you were knocking off and you were supposed to be setting everything, all the equipment, you were supposed to be putting into the room and going, right? So you were the only person. And then whilst you were just doing that, and you discovered a big block of gold, 30 kilos. Right? You found a big block of gold. There's nobody around.
You could have just put it into some paper or something, some plastic, and you could have taken it very easily. That time, with all honesty and all respect, you came and reported it to me. I was 5 kilometers away. You traveled and you brought the piece of gold to me, 30 kilos, pure gold. Now, look at your whole temperament. It's taken, it's gone in reverse. For a small little gold earring, you could kill this child. What was the reason? You see this insan. An insan's mind, how it can just capsize in a second. Can you see that? لا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين. Allah Pak, don't entrust me to myself. Don't assign me to myself. In a moment I can just go. Now I look right, bring my namaz, I can do everything. But in a moment now, my mind just goes to the other side. It just turns around. You become like the most brutal, the wild animal you become. You become the beast. Now you are such a gentleman, such a great person. And then in a moment, what happens to your mind? So can any person be boastful of himself at any moment, any second? At any second can you be boastful? So now, this person that is charged for that murder, he said, what must I do? At that time when I returned that piece of gold, then, you know, haram at that time was worse than a swine, you know, worse and dirtier than swine. We were so disgusted, distraught. We didn't want to touch it, we don't want to be near any. And now our minds have gone in reverse. Our minds are gone like this now. Whatever you can get your hands onto, just take away. In any way, whichever way you can get your hands onto it, just take it away. See? So the judges that was presiding over there, this is recorded Indian verdicts, you know, what the verdicts where the judge passed, recorded there. He says the judge that was presiding over the case, he threw the case out. And he says, perhaps this is a result of our intentions going off. See, the rulers, the intentions may have been good at some time, so the subjects were good, and the rulers went off, they became dishonest, they became wrong, as a result it impacted on the subjects, subjects also went off. So it threw the case off. So I was explaining, see, it's so important that when we are living at a place, then we are also worried about the generation to come. That what legacy have we left for them? Yes, we are concerned. A legacy in wealth, a legacy for some type of financial security, we leave it. And I don't say shouldn't do it. The hadith says it also. When someone wanted to give all his wealth out in charity, so the reason stopped him. He says no. And there's a rule. You leave your children wealthy, right? It's better than you leaving them fuqara yatakaffafu an-nas. You go, leave them, you give all your wealth in charity. Now your children got nothing. Now they are stretching their hands before people. So to leave a good financial security for the children is good. To give everything in charity is not the recommended thing in the Sharia. Therefore they also say that although the Sharia has made a provision that one third, you can spend on anybody else. But the Sharia doesn't encourage it, that give that full one third. It doesn't want you to exercise your full right. It says, because if you exercise your full right, then what good have you done to your children? You exhausted full right, one third. I got 3 million, 1 million I gave away. So your full right, as though you're saying, if I had the right to give two thirds, I would have given two thirds. And one third I would have left. So it doesn't want you to do that. Leave them wealth. Give them a little bit more than that. So now they're strong. But like it is important for you to leave them financially secure, then spiritual security, what have you done? What legacy have you left? What legacy? So now we need to understand people. To get that legacy right, we need to understand the class of people that we are working with. Then when we understood the people, now we know, all right, how to take them. See, because it can be one of three situations. Either the person is very weak in deen, doesn't know about deen. So when he's very weak in deen, there's a need to bring him up. He's very weak, right down. When he's right down, then what's the need? The need is to bring him up. Right? In Islam, there's no such a thing like stagnation. You just leave the person as he is. then he will stagnate, he will decay, and that's the end of the person. So you can't leave the person as he is. Right. So what do? Because he now, he's weak in deen. Now, the first level is now you encourage him. You see, he's got a little bit of liking for deen, but he doesn't have the full understanding of deen. Now, you have to nurture the person, bring him up. You can't just go and smash him down. Hey, you're doing all wrong. You don't have to do this. You don't have the sunnah here. Yes, we need to teach the person, but understand the approach. How are you going to approach the person? How are you going to work through the person? So, to understand the approach, you need to understand what is his commitment. This is his commitment to deen. So this is how I will approach him. Mawla Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, as he graduated Darul Deoband, so his father wanted him to teach for at least about 15-20 years. Because his father felt, although the father was not an alim, but very intelligent, very capable. Father felt that, see, he's learned the kitabs, and the kitabs are fresh in him. Now he needs to have a mastery of the kitabs. So if he needs to use those concepts, he can use it. If I just learned it, and I haven't yet used them, then the same kitab, the concepts that are found here, are used in all day, everyday life. But I only learned them, I haven't mastered them, can I use these concepts? So Mawlana's father wanted that he master the concepts, so that thereafter, wherever Islam needs, wherever deen needs him to use the concept, he can extend the same concepts around. So he studied 15-20 years in whatever the period must have been, in Kanpur. And in that duration, Mawlana was not just concerned only about the madrasa and the happening of the madrasa. Whereas Mawlana was teaching all the senior kitabs. He would have had that attitude, you know, it takes me so much of time to prepare to be in a good position to deliver the next day. He could have had that mentality. Take him so much of time to prepare so that I can make a good delivery of the next day. And he could say, well, they must sort themselves out. I got enough on my plate, they must sort themselves out. That was one attitude. The other attitude could have been on the other extreme. Well, you know what? This is alright, it's important, but more importantly, go and worry about them. And the whole day and night, he could have been just absorbed in the community affairs, concerned about them. If he took the other extreme, then he wouldn't have got the real spirit of deen. See, one is you got the word, now after you've got the word, understand the spirit. Spirit is so important, the flavor is so important. One white man, in those days now, 1930s, 40s, he came to India. So some Muslim had invited him, and he fed him with biryani. So the white man is thinking to himself, this is the level of their food, so refined. Then what will be the level of the refinement of the religion? If the food is so refined, that was the reason for the conversion. So Chai Mua at the Jalsa now, telling him, that you see they eat your biryani. The biryani must touch their heart. They must become different people now. They become namazis. They like deen. Hey, food is so well here. Hey. Must do, read Quran, study, come to the masjid. See that? That heart, that food, you have to feed them. But the intention must be that food must reach the heart. That person wasn't namazi now, he become namazi. He likes the ikram, he likes the muhabbat, the respect. Right? The one that wasn't good to his family and wife, now he's becoming good. The one that wasn't punctual about his namaz, now he's reading his namaz. The one that wasn't reciting Quran Sharif, he's reciting Quran Sharif. So that must be the concern. So we give that ikram, but that must be the concern, that must be the hurt in your heart, you know, this person must lead them all to Jannah. How to do it? Man likes ikram, everybody likes a little bit of respect, a little bit of ikram, a little bit of, show him that, you know, we like you. He likes that, he takes to it. So Mawlana could have gone to one of those two extremes. One extreme, you know, I got enough on my plate, I need to do this thing here. I need to study that I can do a good delivery the next morning. The other extreme you could have taken is just leave the madrasa and go and work there. See to the awam, see to the public needs and see that he can save them and secure them. So this could have been two extremes. In either way, it wouldn't have been the best. He could have been doing a good delivery, and then meanwhile people are rotting around. They're going from wherever they are, they're rotting into disbelief, into kufr. The other way, he could have been working in them But he wouldn't have captured the very spirit of deen. What is the essence of deen? See, I said, what was in that heart of Nabi Sam? That is what we need to learn. Very Duru Sharif, that mind, that frame of mind, the appreciation that we owe. As though our hearts are with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now, you know. I want that pure deen to just transfer from him to us. That pure love to transfer from him to us. That's what we want. The pure understanding, just move from us. Move to us. So for that heart has to be, that heart needs to have that level of clarity, purity, no prejudice. If I like you only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, not for any other reason. I like you, dislike you, that's all. No other reason. So Mawlana saw all this happening and he saw this movements going around. Now he saw around Kanpur is a mass conversion. This town here, they are converting to Hinduism. That one is moving to Hinduism. Now that got him concerned. So he got a few people around, influential people. He was a very, very good orator. You know? Very, very good orator he was. Allah Ta'ala blessed him. Sometimes one bayan going for 4 hours and nobody is leaving the bayan. 500,000 people, the bayan is going for 400, 500, for 5 hours, 4 hours, nobody is leaving the bayan. And I was looking at the write-up of those bayans, some of those bayans, 3 hours, 4 hours, and he's doing it standing. Yeah, half an hour bayan, you need a chair. And then it was a 5 hour bayan, 4 hour bayan, and he's standing and he's giving it, properly he's giving it. To a crowd of 500,000, no mic system. So how strong this must have been, spiritually, physically, how strong he must have been. So anyway, he's got his concern, you see. See his concern, this fikr is a great thing. This fikr, once it's in your mind, then it will activate you. See, the greatest thing in a man, the greatest faculty is fikr, concern. Is the faculty of being able to understand, sight, reason, contemplate. That's the greatest faculty. So the greatest faculty has got the greatest duty. It's a small faculty, small duty. Greatest faculty, the greatest duty. That's the main thing in your whole self. That's a nucleus that activates the whole body. Thought came in your mind, you know. Hey, but long time I didn't eat at Steers. Just thought went. Now, the whole body is activated. Whole body, car, body, money, everything is activated. One thought had to just get through your mind and the whole body is activated. So where it starts off from? The mind. So Mawlana would say it as well, that when someone comes to my khanqa, then you know what he must leave with is with some level of fikr, concern. If he's got that concern, then everything will move. But no concern, just came in as a ritual, as a custom, I came, customary thing, so he went away. So will he leave with anything? But he's left with some fikr, now it will be a concern. I need to do things, I need to understand things, I need to be a better person, right? So all the fikr will come, he'll become a better person after that, right? Some person comes and Mawlana just shouts him for that moment. And afterwards he says, you know, after that he writes, after 6 months or 8 months, Mawlana, I think I needed the shouting. You know, when I used to go home, I used to be like a lion, raw, ferocious, angry, agitated in my home. You know, my wife would be obedient, quiet, and she's afraid, apprehensive of me. Now, what's going to be the next move? And I needed that one shouting to become like a man. Before I was an animal, now you brought me to a man. But had I not been shouted like this, I wouldn't have been a man. See, I needed the shout. Why need? Now there's pleasure in the house, there's enjoyment, there's understanding. There's such a beautiful environment in the house. But you see now why Mawlana was instilling that fikr? It went to his own advantage. The own environment improved. So he says, I'm doing this for this reason. One person comes, he's right at the entrance of the khanqa. And he's got a dispute with the porter, you know. The porter brought him right here with his saman, and he's got a fight with him there. He's saying 2 rupees, the porter saying 4 rupees. So Mawlana is overhearing it right in the khanqa, that these people is having a dispute. Mona asked him, where are you coming from? Calcutta. Calcutta takes about 2 days, 48-hour journey, right, to reach Saital Thanabhavan. So, well, what's the dispute about 2 rupees? Did you fix the price? No, I didn't fix the price. So, all right, take this 2 rupees, give me the 2 rupees and take this 2 rupees from me. Give it to the port to finish. Now, you go back to Calcutta. For the rest of his life, now he understood that he mustn't argue, mustn't fight. And if he gets into any type of contract, he must make the arrangements beforehand. Not after you use the person now. Now you start debating about the price. See, what is it for about 3 nights, I couldn't sleep. After that, I did this, but I couldn't sleep for 3 nights. Now don't use more time. This, you know, you did this now, go back. You are more Tanvi Rahmatullahi. He said, for 3 nights I couldn't sleep after that. Because I'm thinking to myself, this person could, why didn't he use his common sense? You could have thought about it, that I don't need to dispute at this point after I've used the services of this porter. What they say, coolie nowadays, right? A little derogatory word. What they call us, right? Right. So, why didn't he use his common sense? I needed to confirm the price and take the services thereafter. Now, after you've taken the service, now you're fighting with the person, disputing with the person, and you're coming at the doorstep of this Khanqah, this porter will have a negative impression about Islam. See the negativity that you are creating. So now, for the rest of his life, he's got a lesson now. See, I caused it now. He will ever get into a dispute? Will he ever leave anything ambiguous? See, this ambiguity and the problem that it creates afterwards. So this is what he said, this is what I want to create. Will he ever try to be a little bit dishonest to anybody? Take advantage of a situation, he'll never do it. So, you know, I was pushed back. I came from Calcutta with that expectation, 48-hour journey. Came with so much of difficulty, so much of expectation. And I was returned, I was not even allowed access into the Khanqah, go back. So, will you ever forget this lesson? So, Mawa says, this is why I had sent him back. I didn't get fun out of it. Now, that troubled me. It troubled me. 3 nights, I couldn't sleep. Whole night, I couldn't sleep. So I sent him back now. But couldn't he use his brains? Why did he do this? That he had to make me the bad person. You know, I had to send him back so much, so far. So some of us use more Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, but we don't use him fully. You will be hard on the person, but do you become worked up within yourself that, you know, I was hard with that person, and how that person must have taken it? Do you behave like that? So do you have the balance? So don't say, no, more Tanvi did this, and I must do it as well. But you're not more Tanvi Rahmatullahi. You don't have that level of balance. So, Al-Mawla Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi now. He is concerned of the plight of the Muslims that are around, that there's mass conversion that's carrying on. So he could have taken one of the extremist views and not done anything about it. But he got around townspeople, all right, these are all Muslims. You know, tomorrow it could be my own people. Tomorrow could have been myself. And if I was neglected like that, then what? I was just abandoned, then what? I would have become a victim to these things here. So, alright, now, let's go and try and work. Now, they have to understand now demographics, how it works in India. So it works like this, that in every town, every town, any suburb or a village, you got a chaudhary, like how you have an induna here, they have a chaudhary there, right? So, the chaudhary, the induna has the influence over the crowd, about 1,000 people, so it's his influence. You talk to him nicely, you get the things worked, he will get your things right for you. So, they went and spoke to the chaudhary. And we hear there's a mass conversion going around, said it could be. But my people, that chaudhary is saying to Molana, my people that come under my influence, they're not at all going to Hinduism. Mawla looks stunned now, shocked now, why, or everybody else can be affected, but why not your people? He says, hum log to har saal tajiya nikalte. He can't even say tajiya, he says tajiya nikalte, right? Every year we take out tajiya, right? So this practice we can't give up. See, that means what he was saying, the thing that is connecting to Islam was taziya. Right? Now that is a total wrong, corrupt practice. Absolutely wrong. No unfounded, no basis for it. Absolutely wrong. It's a bidat practice, right? And a bidat is wrong, absolutely wrong, right? But on that occasion, Allah told him, tum tajia khub nikalte raho. Then you hold to this practice of tajia. Hold to this practice. Understand yourself, why did Mawlana ask him to hold on to this? Because the only thing that was connecting him to Islam was tajia, nothing else. He had no knowledge. What is kalima? What is namaz? What is roza? What is zakat? No knowledge. The only thing that was connecting him was tajia. Now if Mawlana disconnected him from this as well, so might as well then go to Hinduism. See. But then Mawlana didn't leave it at that. See this philosophy, the understanding, wisdom. See. When you got the true understanding, and you're getting that inspiration from the Rozae Mubarak, from the Islam, then you're a different person. You see things differently. You view things differently. You analyze things differently. Otherwise, you think about your two by two, I'm alright, everything's alright. But now you think at a different level, then the inspiration also comes at a different level. So Mawlana didn't leave it at that. He worked on the person and said, now we have worked on this community at one level, or we know now the Islam is secure. Now our duty is to gradually educate them and bring them onto the Sunnah. That they begin to understand that this is right, this is a Sunnah, this is bidah, this is haram, this is halal, this is how they should be going. We can't just leave them stagnated. Like I say, stagnation brings and breathes decadence. Everything decays. Now, this is what Mawlana Siddiq Bandi Sahib Rahmatullah did as well. He graduated. And you know, what a beautiful path he had. What a beautiful path he had. That he is Sheikh and his Ustad. Mawlana Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullah, that was the head of the madrasa. He already confirmed a place for him. That in a few years I would make you the Sheikh al-Hadith of this madrasa. Sahibpur is not a small place, it's the biggest, you know. Now that zamana, 50s, 40s, I make you the Sheikh al-Hadith. Or he confirmed a place and confirmed a girl for him as well. What else? Place and a woman. Nikah is also done. Place also. You got a position in the madrasa. Then he says, I was just browsing through some paper, whatever it was. And I heard about my people or the neighboring towns to my village. Right? They totally lost. Totally lost. They're going to Hinduism, out of Islam. Becoming murtads and turning away, apostasy. So then I thought to myself, alright, I will escalate, I will become a Sheikh al-Hadith, I'll get the respect, you know, got the recognition, etc. But then, is it worth the price that all these people will become apostates, all become out of Islam, and I'm escalating, these people are getting all rotten here, and is it the right thing to do? If I was summoned by Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala were to ask me that these people were becoming apostates, and you knew about it, you heard about it, and then still you took this type of recognition position. What answer will I find? So he says, there was one occasion was very tough, because my Sheikh now, my Ustad, and he wants me to do this. And I can see the need on that side. And normally the Sheikh, you don't have that type of a discussion. He just gives an instruction, he must do it. So he had to have some excuse and he moved away. The Sheikh was disappointed for 2 years. I know how I went through that 2 years. But the purity of his intention, the Sheikh accepted after the 2 years, says, this was one occasion where the murid was right and the Sheikh was totally wrong. Understand? Because 2 years now, Allah worked. And he worked. Right? He worked so hard to small villages, small pockets of people living here, there, everywhere. Right? At times he says he had to spend the night in a cow barn, you know, a barn. And the whole night he can't sleep. Because now he's worried about the cow, then you come and toss him just now. There's a horse there and he's there. I think you don't know it, mina, no, kakoi barosa nahi. You don't know what that thing is. But no place to sleep, I had to sleep there. And I worked. And after 2 years, then the news started infiltrating to my Sheikh, Masadullah Sahib. Okay, this was the conversion that was taking place. And the student of yours now, how he's turning the hundreds and the thousands, he's turning them back to Islam. Then he regressed, no, this was one time where I went wrong and my student, my murid went right. See. So what I'm getting at now is when we are working at a place, we need to understand the levels, the commitment of the people around. And how to, if they've gone off, they've gone off, they're a little bit of the cause, how to bring them back, right? And their own cause, how to strengthen them. They gone off cause, then how to bring them back. Their own cause, how to strengthen them. You can't leave any individual at the same point that he is in. You keep trying, alright, how do you bring him? How do you improve him? How do you improve him? How do you escalate him? Ask yourself about wealth, and if you just leave wealth, what happens? It depreciates. You keep thinking how to get it moving, how to get it moving. Then that wealth has that value. But if you just leave it like that, to kya hoga? That thing will depreciate, the value will just go down. So the same happens with deen. You just leave it, and it will just fall down. Whatever little you've got, that decays. But in the making process, this is what we need to understand, is the people that I'm around, and what are the deeni requirements, what are the deeni needs. So you'll have one of two types of people. One is that person who can understand, like more time, he's a genius of a person. He can see, understand, sight, vision, etc. One that doesn't have the vision, he must be man enough to say, I don't have the vision, show me, guide me, how can I work, what should I do? The person that is guiding, then he mustn't talk only for himself. He must have that vision. Alright, here, what about this place here, what about that place? What about the Muslims here, in that place, in that area? Mlazi, Inanda, Kamashu, all these people, what about them? Then how can you get the person connected? How must he work? How must he get connected? How is the structure? Now that person will see fruits, he'll see results. When he sees results, then he's inspired. But now, if you just self-centered everything, only for me, my madrasa and myself, my madrasa, myself. So that person must have that fikr, that consciousness, that awareness that he needs to progress. One place, to the second place, to the third place, how do we get it working? How do we get it working? How do we get it working? And each person, each individual, each place you take according to their levels. Almawa Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi has to work with villages, right? I used to come right to their level. He is such a big mockery, a revivalist of his zamana. His portfolio is such that sometimes he has to work with the great alim and sometimes with the lowest of the low. But when he's working with the lowest of the low, now he's talking in his language. Now, it's a village that's come in and Mora has got a little bit of a rapport with him. Meanwhile, that villager doesn't have a beard. He's thinking, how to get this person right? See, I got a very short time, and it's a village, I got a rapport with him. He doesn't mind, I speak to him straight. See, what if the person minds that you speak to him straight, then you don't talk to him straight, because he minds, he takes exception. When he's going to take exception, then you lost the person. Now, I know that he's going to take exception, I just told him. Now, he got cut off, now he's distanced himself. So, did you get anything out of it? So, what if the person has got a rapport, and he can't accept the correction. So now, you should understand so many things. It's a villager now. The villager is the lowest of the low. He's understanding everything is low. You can't start quoting all big hadiths before him. So he says, you know what? This is royal territory. What? This is royal territory. Ye shahi ghas hai. What? This is royal territory. You touch this, you become a criminal. Hey, Hazrat, no, Toba, me Toba karta, I'm making Toba. Straight away, he's right, you see. But now, from that high pedestal of his, he came right down to explain the lowest of the low at his level. You know, now we understand, Anzilun Nasa Manasilam. Talk to people according to the levels.